I wanted to just start by sharing with you a story about a man named Juan Chavez, and who was on Mexico's most wanted list. And this man, for many years, evaded the authorities. He was a criminal. He was very dangerous. And he seemed to be beyond the reach of the law. And every effort to catch him proved unsuccessful. He was good at hiding. He was good at evading the cops. But then one day, without warning, he showed up at a Mexican courthouse and announced, "I'm Juan Chavez, and I'm handing myself in." Well, the judge at that courthouse, of course, knew who this was. And the judge was shocked and said, "What brought you in? Who brought you in?" Chavez held up a Bible and said, "This book brought me in. And I'm here to pay my debt to society." Now, of course, the judge was like, "What is going on here?" So then he went on to explain that when he had gotten back from one of his raids, he had found this book among the loot. It was the Bible. And at the time, he was hiding in a cave, and he, of course, had nothing else to do. So he decided that he would begin to read this book that he had found in some loot that he had stolen. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? So he began to read it, and he couldn't get away from it. And the Bible changed this man's life. Juan Chavez was now a different person. Once a hardened criminal, he had found the hope and peace and fulfillment that only Christ could give just by reading. Nobody teaching him or helping him understand the Word of God. He just started to read it, and he couldn't get enough of it. There in that dark cave, he surrendered his life to Jesus. He asked God to forgive him of his sins and dedicated his life to Jesus forever. And the first step he did was give himself up to pay his debt to society. We read in Scripture, "For Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." And I love testimonies. These are the types of stories we celebrate. Anybody else in here, that's your story? You just started reading the Bible and you were saved. And God saved you. It's amazing. Every now and then, God works so powerfully through his word. You see, we all have holes in our souls that only God can fill. We don't have to be a hardened criminal like Juan Chavez, or we don't have to even hit rock bottom. But if we are open, our spiritual void, the emptiness in our hearts can be met through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man," and that's Jesus, "came to seek and to save that which was lost." And there we learn, as many of you have learned, that Jesus provides the answer to the deepest longings of our hearts. You see, people everywhere are searching for peace and hope, and not just in Trent Hills, folks, all across Ontario, all across our nation and this world, people are searching for hope. And we're going to begin a sermon series today that looks at three encounters with Jesus that people had. And these three individuals, once they met Jesus, they were never the same again. And we're going to open our Bibles right now and read about an encounter that Jesus had with someone. And again, once Jesus stepped into their life was not the same again. Who here today has had their life changed by Jesus? Don't be shy. This is the house of the Lord. Do not be shy. If this is your story, if God has changed you, you need to help people know there is hope for them. There's hope for everyone who comes to Jesus. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. It's actually going to be on the screen behind me as well, but if you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, as we hear and read the word of the Lord, may it be a blessing to your hearts. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, let us open our hearts and look to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we do thank you, Lord, for that wonderful truth that you have come to each one of us to save us, to heal us, to change us, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have had this time together this morning to just sing praises to your name and to give thanks for how you are answering prayer. And Lord, there are many items we are continuing to persevere in prayer for. Lord, we pray that our time this morning as we come before your word, that our hearts will be open, that you will speak to our hearts, that you help us to listen, Holy Spirit. And may your presence bring strength to our hearts. Oh Lord, that you would guide the words of my lips to minister to your people, and that we would have hearts to respond. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look through our text this morning, let me begin by taking you back to verse 1 as we learn about this man named Zacchaeus. In verse 1, we learn that Jesus is entering this city called Jericho. Interesting. Jericho in the Old Testament, what happened? The walls came tumbling down. And the walls are going to come tumbling down again today. In the hearts of a man named Zacchaeus, and our prayer is that for each one of you, some walls will come down as well. Zacchaeus, what a guy. Who was he? Well, we learn a little bit about him in verse 2, but we can't overlook what's happening in verse 1. There's not a lot said, but we're told that Jesus is entering Jericho, and then he's passing through. Now, what should that make you think about? Where is he heading? If he's just passing through, Jesus has a destination on his mind. If you were to actually read a few chapters over, you learn where Jesus is heading. He's heading to Jerusalem. He is heading to Jerusalem one last time, where he will spend the last days of his earthly ministry with his followers, doing what he's been doing already for the past couple of years. But he is on his way to Jerusalem, where he will be crucified for the sins of the world. He is headed to the cross, is where he is going. Keep that in mind. That would have been a lot on Jesus' mind, but what does he do in our passage, as we have seen so often in the Gospels, is that he stops for the one, the plus one. And who is that in our passage? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus the sinner. In verse 2, we learn about this Jewish man named Zacchaeus. What do we learn about him in verse 2? Well, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And of course, tax collectors were not popular then and they're not popular now. If you're a tax collector even here today, we want to pray for you. We do love you. We do not like getting that check or that envelope in the mail from the government. We wonder how much more we have to pay, but still, they have a job to do, folks, and so we need to support them. But tax collectors are often despised as they were back then. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He served the Roman government, so he was working for the enemy, not his own people. And so what he would do, he would collect taxes from his own people to give to Rome. And as a tax collector for these occupiers, he had made enemies of his own people by taking money from them that he shouldn't. So he did a little bit more than just take the money that the people owed. So he was crooked, yes. He was very greedy. He was seen to have betrayed his people. He probably didn't have very many friends. So you need to know this about Zacchaeus. Pretty lonely guy, no friends, for a reason, right? But he did have this real job of being a tax collector, but Zacchaeus would also get his money by fraud, by embezzlement, or by roughing up some people. He's a chief tax collector. He has people working under him doing his dirty work. So it was a shady, despised profession, and no one would have anything to do with a tax collector. Nobody, except for who? Jesus. We learn this man was a sinner in need of a savior. And folks, that's not just Zacchaeus. That's everyone. We all need a savior. Why? Because as the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are each one born into this world separated from our holy and perfect and gracious God because of this thing, three-letter word called sin. And without a savior, we are all dead in our sins. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You see, God loves us so much that he doesn't want to see us lost for all eternity due to our sin. And that is why he sent his son, Jesus. That's where Jesus comes in. And in our text, Jesus is again headed towards the cross to pay the price for your sin and mine, your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. And that is amazing. Amazing grace. Acts 4 verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So many people struggle with whether to receive the forgiveness of Christ and accept his salvation. They want Christ to walk with them, but they don't really want to walk with him. Along his way of abandoning of all that goes against the word of God. And so we have to understand that we cannot live a good enough life to earn salvation. God cannot just be something that we add to our life and go to it only when we have a need. But we understand from Scripture, and it's very clear, when we repent of our sin before a holy God and receive his free gift of salvation, we are then given eternal life. And it begins the moment you are born again. He transforms our hearts. He gives us a desire to live according to his will. We are changed when you encounter Jesus. A new life begins the moment you say yes to Jesus. His Holy Spirit taking up residence in your heart. Forever. But it's important that we learn this about Zacchaeus right away, that he was a sinner in need of a savior. But we also learned something else about Zacchaeus in our text today. He was a seeker. You see, Zacchaeus, he was very rich. He was one of the wealthiest men in Jericho, I believe. But there must have been an emptiness in his heart because he wanted to know who Jesus was, and he began to seek him out. Look at verses 3 to 4. In our passage, it begins in verse 3. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Twice, we learn this man, he wants to see Jesus. Why? What do we learn about Zacchaeus in these few verses again? Well, he wants to see Jesus. He wants to meet Jesus, or at least catch a glimpse of him. But he can't because of his height, so he gets an idea. I'm going to climb a tree. That way I'll see over the crowd, and my height won't be an obstacle. So he realizes if he climbs a tree, he has a better view, and so this is what he does. But the question that I would like for us to ponder is this. As he is climbing up that tree, as he is sitting on that branch, why did Zacchaeus want to see our Lord? What is happening in his life? Was it curiosity? Because Jesus is a pretty famous guy right now across the land. He is healing people. He is saving people. His teaching is radical and people have never heard it before. So was it spiritual hunger that caused Zacchaeus to want to seek Jesus out? Did he sense that perhaps there was something missing from his life and didn't know what it was? Did Zacchaeus know that there was a void, right? The hole in his soul. And that he had a sneaking suspicion that Jesus, The Son of God, the Messiah that people were talking about had all the answers. Now, even today, if people are honest, and that's something that we all need to work on, being honest with ourselves before God, there are so many people that get to this place in their life where they wonder, is there more to life than this? There's got to be more to life than just my career, my family, sports, vacation, fill in the blanks, folks. A good retirement package, a new car. But often, and I know there's more to life than replacing my van, but oftentimes they just don't know what it is, right? And you perhaps have had those conversations, and maybe perhaps you are here because you had that conversation, and someone said, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the good news of the gospel, that only in Christ can we find hope and peace and healing. You see, Zacchaeus was coming to Jesus. He wanted to see him. And on the way, Jesus describes himself in the Gospels as the good shepherd. John 10, verses 14 to 15 says, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. You see, Jesus paved the way for us to enter into the most amazing pasture of all, the very presence of the living God. He laid down his life as our good shepherd that we would have the fullness of life and life everlasting. But also, continually, God leads us as our good shepherd day in and day out. So Zacchaeus, yeah, he's a sinner and he's seeking. He's trying to see Jesus. But this next point is probably the most important, is that Zacchaeus was sought, okay? In verses 5 to 7 now, we see how the seeker becomes the sought, the pursuer becomes the pursued. You see, Zacchaeus, he was determined to see Jesus. So determined, he kind of put himself out there up a tree. But Jesus is even more determined to see Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus did not see this coming. I love how God works in our lives. I did not see that coming, Lord, but I know you are behind this. And I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to walk with you through this, and I know you will help me. So we see in verses 5 to 7 what happens. Jesus reaches the spot that Zacchaeus was up in the tree, and Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. What a divine moment, folks. Isn't this incredible? We serve a very personal God. And so what happens here when Jesus gets to the tree, he looks up and he calls for him to come down. Don't you love this moment here? Just picture this with me. Jesus is calling up to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go to your house today. So when he gets to the tree, and I love how verse 5 puts it, because what is Jesus doing here as he's looking up at Zacchaeus and calling him out by his name? He's then inviting himself over for dinner at Zacchaeus' house. Think about that for a second. And don't forget, it's biblical. Jesus did this. He's inviting himself over. When was the last time you invited yourself over to someone's house? I don't know if I've ever done that. People just don't do that. But Jesus did it. And so maybe we should try this after church in the foyer. Hey, I'm going to go to your house today. Let's see. Who's going to watch the Jays this afternoon? Maybe. No one's going to put up their hand now. I hope you have some good snacks. But this is not what people do. But this is what Jesus did. He's like really bold. He's very personal. And he's very bold. And how does Zacchaeus respond? He's ecstatic. So Jesus invites himself over. Jesus was seeking out Zacchaeus. We have to realize this is what's happening. And Zacchaeus responds joyfully, gladly. He comes down. He welcomes Jesus. And what Zacchaeus comes to understand is that he is the one of the lost, that Jesus has come to seek and to save. There is a lot going on in this scene that Luke, the author of this gospel, doesn't really fill us in on. But all we know and all we have is all that we need. Jesus enters into this man's life, and he changes him. The crowd's reaction, of course, is one of utter shock. You know, as Zacchaeus and Jesus are having their moment, and Zacchaeus is ecstatic, and Jesus is like, I'm coming to your house. The crowd is like, well, how does the crowd respond? Look at verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter. What does muttering sound like? Anybody want to try that? Muttering? It's not a positive word, I don't think. It's more like grumbling or complaining. It's in that family. It's not positive. So they're muttering, and what are they saying? He has gone to be the guest of a sinner? That's why how we know he's a sinner. The text tells us he's in need of a savior. But the crowd's reaction is, why would Jesus give any attention to such a terrible and wicked man? The text tells us the crowd grumbled again over this interaction. But why do you think they responded this way? And we do need to think about this. This is probably what they were thinking. Well, this man's a crook. This man has stolen from us. Because of this man, I can't feed my family, right? So Zacchaeus is not the kind of man Jericho wants representing them before Jesus. No self-respecting Jew would be caught dead with Zacchaeus. And yet Jesus is inviting himself over to this man's house. So the crowd's shock allows Jesus to then make the point about the nature of his mission that even they got away from. Why did Jesus come? What's verse 10? Let's read it together. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And that is Zacchaeus. That is you. That is me. And an interesting point is, if Jesus was trying to win the approval of the crowd, if Jesus was trying to win friends and influence people the way the culture of that day, right, was saying how you do that, then he would never have gone home with Zacchaeus. You do not hang out with anyone like that. He would have avoided him at all cost. And so Jesus lost all the support and approval of the crowd because of his divine mission. And that is, he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He has come to earth to deliver us from sin, its power, and its eternal punishment. Again, Jesus is the good shepherd, and the heart of Jesus is to pursue. When a search and rescue team are mobilized, they do not go to the scene and sit in a chair waiting for the lost to find them, right? No. They don't just sit there and wait, oh, let's see if they can find us while we're waiting here for them. They're lost. They can't find them. No, it's not that way. They suit up. They suit up and they go about the environment wherever they are. If it's the wilderness, if it's the ocean, then they are looking as frantically as they can to find the lost, because the lost cannot find their way back home. So everything about the ministry of Jesus is about the lost. May we never forget that as a church. The plus one, right? The 99, they're saved, but there's one. Who is that in your life? This is Zacchaeus. And it wasn't Zacchaeus pursuing Jesus, it was Jesus pursuing Zacchaeus. And a church that has the heart of God will pursue the lost. You see, a pursuing church reflects the heart of Christ. Lastly, we have Zacchaeus, a completely changed person. He is saved. In verses 8 to 10, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." That's a praise the Lord moment, because this man too is a son of Abraham. So we see in these last few verses a man who was once enslaved to sin, now set free and transformed by the grace and mercy of Christ. See, after Jesus made his pledge, Jesus responds by saying, "Salvation has come to this house today." We cannot help but notice in this verse, Zacchaeus is a new man. He was transformed from being greedy to generous, selfish to selfless, from thievery and extortion to a thankful heart. The Bible teaches that when you get saved, you are a new creation in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. So there will be a change in your life when you encounter Jesus. Zacchaeus had a new heart, a new life, and a new love. And when he found Jesus, his money didn't mean anything to him anymore. You know, in the book of James, it says that we are saved to display works. We are not saved by our works, but works is the fruit of or evidence of our salvation. Is there evidence of that in Zacchaeus' life today? Absolutely. We see a changed heart in how he was willing then to give back what he had taken and to help the poor. Zacchaeus was not saved because he gave half his money away to the poor, and he wasn't saved because he gave back four times repayment to those he defrauded. He did that because he was saved. He had met Jesus. Jesus had given him a new heart, a new outlook on everything in life, including his money. When Jesus reached out to Zacchaeus, it shows us again that no matter what someone has done in their life, God still cares enough to invite them into a personal relationship with him. Jesus didn't come into Zacchaeus' house, not just his house, but he entered into his heart, and that is what changed him. It was the presence of Christ that made all the difference in the world and in his life. It made a difference to Zacchaeus and hopefully you. Zacchaeus was sought. Jesus came for him. Jesus came for Juan Chavez. Jesus came for you and Jesus came for me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for this day as we have come here. We thank you, Lord, for your word that reminds us that salvation is your work. And your word is very clear. How can anyone be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. We thank you today that salvation is a free gift to all, and that all we have to do is accept it. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the way of salvation, that you have given your life so that we may be free from the penalty and the power of sin. Lord, help us now as we move forward into this day to continue to walk with you and to build our life on you. And help us, Lord, we pray, to be a pursuing church that reflects the heart of Jesus in Trent Hills. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.